It's great to see everybody here this morning. Well, since we're all here, we might as well learn a little bit about the Lord. So we'll be spending the majority of our time this morning here in Romans 12, somewhere around verse 9. Before we get too deep into that, Father, I thank you for this time today. I thank you for everybody that's here. And Lord, as we dive into your word, Father, I pray that you would let your will be known. Let your will be done. Let my words be few, and God, I pray that you would let your message go forth. Use me, Father, as you see fit, in Jesus' name. So going to Romans chapter 12 here, starting off in verse 9, it says, "Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer." I would also add consistent. "Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality." So what does all that mean for us? So what does he mean by let love be genuine? This is odd for me because I'm used to question and answer kind of stuff. So. Hey, you told me yesterday you were just going to pipe in and start talking. So we are to let our love be genuine. So we have to first start by asking ourselves, what does that look like? What does it look like to genuinely love someone? We're not talking about a friendly type thing here. We're not even talking about so much as, you know, love from one to another. We have a really good example of what love is supposed to look like, and we'll get there in a minute. But what this is saying is that we are to love one another in such a way that whoever we're showing this love to gets the idea that this is not coming from us. Because the only genuine love that we can experience comes from God. And this is the only way that we can show love. Because as people, we don't really get that. Love is kind of almost like an abstract concept for a lot of us. And when we really start to think about it in the terms of how God wants us to see it, then we start getting into some messy stuff. So in verse 12, I'm just going to go back and I'm going to read this again. So verse 9 also says to abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Going into verse 10, it says love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor. And when we really grab hold of that, that is a really cool thing. That looks awesome. I love to see people doing that. And I'm seeing that here in this church. And it's great. I really feel like we are a congregation of people that have kind of really got a grasp on this. To see each one of us reaching out in brotherly affection, and that koinonia is the Greek word for that, which is a coming together, a familial type love. We're a family. I've sang the song before. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. We won't get into that. I'm not here to lead worship right now. But it is good to belong to that family. It is great to belong to a body of believers that ultimately we're all trying to accomplish the same goal here. We're trying to bring glory to the kingdom of God. It also says in verse 10 to outdo one another in showing honor. We don't really think about that so much, you know, when it comes to outdoing one another. I'm not going to go on a hike with Brett and say, I'm going to out-hike him. You know, I'm not going to go into the shop with Monty and say, I'm going to outwork him. I'm not even going to go in the yard with Bill and say that. What we are to outdo one another in, though, is showing honor to one another. Laying ourselves down before other people. Putting ourselves last. And putting others above us. That all starts at the top. Verse 11, do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Be excited about it. Get happy. Get into it. Fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. What does a fervent server look like? You know, when you go out to a restaurant and you think, this is a good server, you're not talking about the one who's looked at you twice the whole time you've been there and has refilled your drink once. No. We're talking about the one who's almost annoying. How you doing? How can I help you? What can I get for you? As members of the body of Christ, that is the way we ought to be. If we're not being just a little bit annoying, then we're not quite there. So when we're laying down our life for a brother or a sister, it's, you know, we're taking time out of our busy schedules to help other people. But that's, you know, that's a sacrifice of time. And we're meant to sacrifice our time. We're meant to sacrifice ourselves for the glory of the kingdom. Now I get to verse 12. I've been trying to get to this. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant and consistent in prayer. In the Amplified, it says steadfast and patient. Steadfast and patient. I know we've probably all got that one person that we know, or at least one, that we really have to be steadfast in our patience with. I know I've had friends in the past that it's like, oh, why are we doing this again? But we're doing this again because that's the will of God. I've told our men's group on Saturday mornings about my friend Cody. And this is a guy that would call me up, and the first words out of his mouth every time, and he said it exactly like this, he'd say, "Hey, could you do me a favor?" "Yeah, Cody, what do you need?" And it would always be something like, "I need a ride to McDonald's so I can get a Big Mac," or "I need to rake your yard so I can make 20 bucks, or, you know, that kind of thing. And there was one time, it was late in the evening, I was done, you know, I was getting ready to go to bed, it was probably like 9:30, and the phone starts to ring. And I look at the phone, and it's Cody. I'm like, oh, great. I don't want to answer this. But there's that little voice in the back of your head that goes off when you get that situation. You know, I don't want to do this. God goes, well, you're gonna. And I might not like it, but yeah, okay, I did it. I answered the phone. And it was the same thing. He goes, "Hey, could you do me a favor?" And I'm thinking, yeah, what is it? And he goes, "Could you pray for me?" And that just blew me away. I'm like, I have never once heard this guy say, "Can you pray for me?" So the seeds that I'm planting, God must be watering those. Long story short, I ended up on the phone with this guy for an hour and a half praying. But by the end of it, he gave his life to the Lord. So long story short, when you get to that point where it's like, oh, again, that blessing's just on the other side. The term long-suffering comes to mind. But then we move on into verse 13, and that talks about contributing to the needs of God's people, pursuing the practice of hospitality. And when you bust into that, I don't know that there's a lot of people right now that are practicing hospitality. And the world would tell us that we're not supposed to. We're supposed to be staying apart. And that is counterintuitive. That is counterproductive. And it is against the will of God. To be apart from one another is sin. There's, who cares about the 6 feet social distancing? I'm talking about the isolation. The being cut off from one another. This is not the will of God. It was never the way he intended it to be. We're made to be in constant community with God and with one another. If we start doing other things, we start to get out of what the will of God has for us. I'm going to go ahead and read that again. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. This is not just, oh, I'm looking for opportunities to be hospitable, and I really hope I can find something. No, that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about being intentional. A couple weeks ago at the All Together breakfast, I talked about that a little bit. We are supposed to be intentional in the way that we seek to serve others. I'm not saying that we need to be blowing up each other's phones all the time and, you know, trying to be nosy or anything like that, but we do need to be connected enough that we know each other well enough to know what we need to pray about, to know what we need to be petitioning God for. Now, when we think about it like this, this passage is clear. And we're supposed to be living together in community, devoted to one another as a family. A family is a beautiful thing, usually. Some people might not think positive thoughts when they think of family, but it can be ugly. It can be very, very ugly. I know situations within my own family, not these two here, they're pretty awesome. But I can definitely think of times where I've been at odds with my own family, and it's for reasons that I'm not going to change. But we know that. Family can be ugly. Let's do another would you rather. This is where things start to get a little messy. Would you rather rejoice with a friend or bless someone that persecutes you? We're supposed to do both of those things, right? And when we bless someone who persecutes us, what kind of an attitude are we supposed to do that with? Oh, fine, I'll bless you. Yosemite Sam it, you know. No, that's not the way it's supposed to be. So now I'm going to skip around. I'm going to talk a little bit about the Word of God in Matthew, chapter 5. If you want to turn with me, you can. Starting in verse 43. This is Jesus talking here. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Because that was the way that they preached before. You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But Jesus says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of the Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? Now, I think it's funny that Jesus says that as he's talking to Matthew. Come here, you little tax collector. And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You, therefore, must be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. And that's how that chapter ends. And that kind of leaves something hanging there. I know not one of us can be perfect. There's one perfect person that ever walked the face of the earth, and we hung him on a cross. But if we hadn't done that, we wouldn't all be sitting here. So doesn't all this seem just a bit opposite? So even if we think back to Old Testament, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, you know, that kind of a thing. And that kind of makes you think, you know, someone hits me, I'm going to hit them back. Someone says something rude or nasty to me, I'm going to say something rude or nasty back. Well, that's not how we're supposed to be. If someone treats us wrong, to say someone, no, once again, if someone slaps you in the cheek, here you go, here's the other one. You want my coat? Here, take my shirt. I know I already said it, but life gets messy, and it's not always easy. But we can't let that get in the way of sharing the love of Christ with each other. This is the way that we are to love one another, as brother and sister, mother and father. Crazy Uncle Albert. He's part of the family, too. We all have a part to play in the kingdom of God. The world needs us to show them the way to Jesus, and we need each other so that we can show the world. They're looking at us, whether it's through the eye of scrutiny or the eye of curiosity. The world is watching us, and it's up to us, because we might be the only Jesus that the world ever sees. So when you're in those situations, we have got to live our lives in such a way that people look at us and think, what is up with them? And if they see a struggle and then get frustrated and give up, which is sin, or get angry and blow up, also sin, they won't think that we know the way. I heard a story on the radio earlier this week. Any of you that listen to The Dub, you might have heard this story too. I don't remember all of the exact details, but the message really hit home with me. There was a group of explorers who needed to hire a guide, and this was back in the 1800s, and someone pointed them to a local Native American. And they meet with this guy, and he's, you know, full-on Native American get-up, of course, quintessential outdoorsman. And these guys, you know, they look at this guy and they go, are you sure you know the way? And what the man said really resonated with me. He looked at these guys and he said, do you see these scars? Do you see this axe in my hand? Before me, there was no way. These scars are proof that I made the way. So there is no way that you're going to be able to find your way without me. And that immediately made me think of Jesus. Those scars are the way. He made the way. Without him, there is no way. Now, if the world sees a struggle, but they see that our outlook remains the same, and that we are unshaken in our faith and our belief, that's what's going to make them start thinking, there's something up with this person. We have to be a healthy body of believers before we can help the world find its way. And a healthy body starts with community. If suddenly my foot was to say, I'm not going to do the job today, it wouldn't really be a whole lot of good. If all of a sudden my hand was like, nah, I don't feel like playing guitar right now, it'd be really tough to lead worship. So all the parts have to come together and function as a whole. We talked, I talked a couple of weeks ago about all the parts of a body. And there are parts that are out for everybody to see, face, hands. But then there are parts that other people that people can't see, like stomach, intestines. Now, just because you can't see those parts doesn't mean they're any less important. I don't know anybody that can live without a stomach. So long story short there, we need each other. We have to be a healthy body of believers before we can help the world find its way. Now this, I know this is probably gonna scare some of you, but it says right here in Jude that some are saved through fear. Knowing each other and doing life together is key to the advancement of the kingdom of God. Having our small group has been wonderful. It's just been so great. And it's been a good way to strengthen our church body, because as we get to know one another, we become closer to God. We become closer to one another, closer to God. We actually have this written on a mirror in our living room. There's a pyramid with God at the top, us at the sides. And as we get closer together, we are moving ever closer to God. If you guys aren't part of a small group, I would encourage you to try to make that part of your weekly routine. Because gathering together as his people, as his body, is pivotal to what we're doing here. Our little group has gotten, I mean, we haven't been meeting together for very long, but I didn't know Rebley at all before we started having the group. I'm seeing prayers answered. We're seeing God move in ways that I haven't seen him move in a long time in people. And it's been just great. I'm thankful for everybody that comes to our house on Sunday afternoons. I just want to extend right now, you're all welcome. We're three doors down. We're praising God together, we're breaking bread, we're studying the word, and most important and above all, we're lifting each other up in prayer. So we're people that praise for one another. And through all that, we're getting to know each other so well that we're asking each other, hey, how's that thing going? Or hey, how's that thing going? Or hey, how's God moving in this? And like I said, our group is growing closer together as we grow closer to God. Now, my point is this. When we see others through the eyes of God, with his love in mind, and what he did for them as well as what he did for us, we begin to see them differently. We don't see the banker, the baker, the businessman, the bum. Instead, we see, and I made up some names here, but we see Connie, or we see Franz, or we see Gordon, or we see Oscar. People go from their titles to becoming people. When we start seeing them through the eyes of God, we see them in a different light. We start seeing them as a beautiful creation of the Most High God. Now the world, as things are going right now, would have us to believe that we should just love and accept people for whoever they are. And regardless of how they've chosen to conduct themselves, the choices they've made, but all this love and acceptance, which I guess if you can call it that, the world's standard of it is a little skewed, but all of this love and acceptance, this is dangerous. This is not dangerous to us as believers. We know where everything is going for us. We know that our treasure is in heaven and that someday we'll get to live in eternity with God. It's dangerous for the people who have the wool pulled over their eyes. And there are those who have chosen to let the enemy do that, to blind them to their sin and to the sin of others. And when you're blind to that sin, everybody's okay, right? This is a happy sunshine rainbow land. But unfortunately, that's just not the way it works. It's very clear Jesus tells us that we should love one another as God loves us. And part of loving one another is pointing it out when somebody's doing something stupid. Like, hey, this road you're going down here, this is not the best route. I really feel like God's got other things for you, but at the same time, you know, we can't force people into it. When Jesus says that we are to love one another as God has loved us, what he means there is that's enough to send his only son, his very flesh and blood, himself to this world to live, to suffer, to die for the forgiveness of those very sins that people are right now fighting so hard to be able to keep. The people of the world need Jesus now more than ever, and God has chosen each one of us. When I point this finger, I've got three pointing back at me, so I try to point like this. God has chosen us for a purpose. He has chosen us, he has set us apart, sanctified us, so that we can go into the world and we can lead people to the kingdom of God. We have something that is a treasure worth more than any amount of gold could buy, and there's more than enough for everyone. But right now, let's do one more would you rather. And this is a good one. Would you rather step out of your comfort zone and try to point someone to Jesus, or watch them go to hell knowing that you could have at least tried? The worst that could happen is they reject him, they go their way anyway. But at least we try to extend the love and grace that the Lord has to those who desperately need him. God has tasked us with preaching the gospel to all nations and all people, and we can let nothing stop us or even hold us back. We should go forward with boldness, knowing that the God of the universe has laid out our paths before us, ordaining every beat of our hearts. And there's nothing that has ever happened that has surprised God. Nothing catches him off guard. He's already seen it. He's there. He knows what's going on. So don't think for a second that he's not in control. And when I say that God's got this, I mean it. I'm not telling you that we need to go around thumping people on the head with our Bibles. That's not going to do any good. I am saying that when it comes to leading people to the Lord, that we should be fearless and fierce in the battle for their souls. Fearless and fierce, I really believe, is a way that Christians ought to be portrayed. That's how people should talk about us, but not in a way that we are combative, not in a way that we are going around looking for a fight. That's not what this is about. We should be fierce and fearless for people's souls, because the Lord is jealous of us. He wants what is his, and he's going to get it one way or another. God has given us all the tools that we need. It's all right in here, and all we have to do is use it. Now, the world is constantly busy talking about their version of love and acceptance. Here's what I love and accept. I love and accept that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way to everlasting life. I love and accept that he came, lived a perfect life, a sinless life, healed the sick and lame, gave the blind back their sight, died on the cross for my sins, and that he was resurrected and ascended to the right hand of the Father in heaven, so that someday we can spend eternity with him. I love and accept that all of you are now my family, thanks to the shared blood of our Lord and Savior. This is love and acceptance as God sees it. And everyone has been sent the same invitation. It's up to us. We are his hands and feet in this world. We are made for the purpose of seeking and saving the lost. It's up to us. Nobody else is going to do it. And God has given us what we need. And what we need is sitting in this room right now. He's filled us with his Spirit. He's given us everything necessary to go out and reach people. My prayer every day is that God would send me to who he wants me to minister to, and that he would use his Spirit to give me the words to say when it comes down to it. Because I don't want anything that is here, this dirty, flawed being, to get in the way of the blessing that someone has waiting for them in Christ Jesus. Now, this week, I want you to try something. This is going to take you out of your comfort zones. I got to tell you, I am standing way outside of my comfort zone right now. I'm normally used to hiding behind a guitar. This has been very weird for me. here's what I want you to do. This is something that you've probably all heard from the days of children's church up until now. Invite a friend to church. I think as adults, that's hard to do. For kids, it's easy. Hey, you're my friend. Here's this thing I love to do. Let's go do it together. But if we have got to have that childlike outlook. We've got to have the heart of a child when it comes to that. And boldness to go to everybody that we come into contact with and ask them how they're doing. To at least try. Give them that opportunity. The only place I want to hide the word is in my heart so that I can share it with others. Now, they don't have to say yes, but at least you tried. Father, I thank you for this opportunity. God, I thank you for your love. I thank you for your grace. God, I thank you for your soothing spirit. Lord, as we finish up here, I pray that you would continue to bless us throughout the week. And Father, help us to see those opportunities to intentionally seek out loving one another. And God, I pray that you would help us to be bold in reaching out to our friends and even those that aren't our friends. God, help us to be just a little bit annoying. I love you, and it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.